The following is a class given by His Holiness Jayapataka Swami Maharaj on June 16, 1981 in Los Angeles, California. The class begins with a reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 25, Text 16 and 17.
Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Jaya Daita Gadadharo Siva Sari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Narayanam Namaskritya Narayana Chaiva Narottamam Devim Sarasvatim Vyasam Tato Jayamudiyajat Mukha kuroti vachalam pangulangayate girinyat kripa tamaham bande sri gurum dinasarina. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 25, Verse 16. Pachadvara ratyavir akira yatanapanai Chaitya dhvaja pataka bhir Yuktang vidruma vedi bhi Translation by His Divine Grace to the A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. In that city there were many assembly houses, street crossings, streets, restaurants, gambling houses, markets, resting places, flags, festoons, and beautiful parks. All these surrounded the city with repetition. In that city, there were many assembly houses, street crossing streets, restaurants, gambling houses, markets, resting places, flags, festoons, and beautiful parks. All these surrounded the city. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. In this way, the capital is described. In the capital, there are assembly houses and many squares, many street crossings, avenues, and streets, many gambling places, markets, and places of rest, all decorated with flags and festoons. These squares are surrounded with railings and are devoid of trees. The heart of the body can be compared to the assembly house, for the living entity is within the heart along with the Paramatma. As stated in Bhagavad Gita 15:15, Sarvasya chaham hiri sannivishto matha smritirganam apohanam cha. The heart is the center of all remembrance, forgetfulness, and deliberation. In the body, the eyes, ears, and nose are different places of attraction for sense enjoyment, and the streets are for going hither and thither may be compared to different types of air blowing within the body. The yogic process for controlling the air within the body and the different nerves is called Sushumna, the path of liberation. The body is also a resting place because when a living entity becomes fatigued, he takes rest within the body. The palms and the soles of the feet are compared to flags and festoons. So we should go on to the next verse also. Text 17. Chapter 25, Canto 4, Srimad Bhagavatam. Puriyastu bhajyo pavane divyadhrumalatakule nadarvi hangalikula kolahala jalasaye. translation by Srila Prabhupada. On the outskirts of that city were many beautiful trees and creepers encircling a nice lake. On the outskirts of that city were many beautiful trees and creepers encircling a nice lake. Also surrounding that lake were many groups of birds and bees that were always chanting and humming. Purport. Since the body is a great city, there must be various arrangements such as lakes and gardens for sense enjoyment. Of the various parts of the body, those which incite sexual impulses are referred to here indirectly. Because the body has genitals, when the living entity attains the right age, be he man or woman, he becomes agitated by the sex impulse. As long as one remains a child, he is not agitated by seeing a beautiful woman. Although the sense organs are present, unless the age is ripe, there is no sex impulse. The favorable conditions surrounding the sex impulse are compared here to a garden or nice solitary park. When one sees the opposite sex, naturally the sex impulse increases. It is said that if a man in a solitary place does not become agitated upon seeing a woman, he is to be considered a brahmachari. But this practice is almost impossible. The sex impulse is so strong that even by seeing, touching, or talking, coming into contact with, or even thinking of the opposite sex, even in so many subtle ways, one becomes sexually impelled. Consequently, a brahmachari or sannyasi is prohibited to associate with women, especially in a secret place. The shastras enjoin that one should not even talk to a woman in a secret place, even if she happens to be one's own daughter, sister, or mother. The sex impulse is so strong that even if one is very learned, he becomes agitated in such circumstances. If this is the case, how can a young man in a nice park remain calm and quiet after seeing a beautiful young woman? Thus end the purport for text 17 and 16 of chapter 25, canto 4, Srimad Bhagavatam, translated and purport by Srila Prabhupada. So the characteristics of King Puranjana, in which Narada Muni is describing symbolically or figuratively this body and the situations in which we are existing, is very instructive. Very instructive for all the living entities. Because this body has different type of arrangements, so it is very nice. At the same time, these arrangements can distract us from our spiritual life. They can distract us from actually achieving the perfection. Our spiritual master has given us so much transcendental mercy, so much nectar. There's the opportunity in this human birth of achieving complete realization of Krishna consciousness, complete appreciation for Krishna's sacred name, his qualities, his form and activities, his devotees and holy dham and other paraphernalia which is connected with the Lord transcendentally. All cause appreciation and awakening to our slumbering spiritual cognition. So we can become distracted by this body. At the same time, we can utilize this body to realize that nectar of Krishna consciousness, utilizing our senses in Krishna service. So when the Grihastha devotees approach Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Jagannath Puri, they ask him, what is the Who is a devotee first? So Lord Chaitanya, he said, anyone who chants Hare Krishna is a devotee. But of course, some different types of chanters are there. But basically, we respect anyone who chants Hare Krishna, because that is very rare and wonderful symptom. But there are some who are not very strict in following their spiritual master or in accepting the devotional principles. Therefore, they are a bad example. So, but still, somehow or another, they are sometimes chanting Hare Krishna. So we respect them in the heart. But we do not associate with those people because they may pollute our own consciousness. Then there are those who are properly initiated and who are faithful to their spiritual master, who are strictly following the rules and regulations of devotional service. Those spiritually advanced devotees, we bow down with our head in obeisances and we call them Prabhu or Master. Because of their serving our Lord, they have become also worshipable to us, respectful objects. Therefore, we call them Master, because we like to serve those who are serving the Lord. Then, of course, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said that there is one other category of devotee who has surrendered heart and soul to the mission of the Lord and is dedicated to preaching and giving out the mercy of the Harinam, following in the footsteps of his spiritual master. And such bona fide spiritual masters, when they are met, they should be offered their sastanga pranams, or full prostrate obeisances. And one should, if having no spiritual master, should take shelter of their lotus feet and respect them. So like this, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, we respect anyone who chants as a devotee, but yet there are different categories and types of behavior with different types of devotees. So the second question they asked Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was, what else, what should be the proper behavior of a Vaishnava? Then he said, Asat sanga tyagai Vaishnava achar, Sri sangaka sadhu Krishna bhakto ar. That a devotee has the characteristic to give up all type of asat sanga. That means bad association. So bad association is said to associate with women and with those who are non-devotees. These are two type of bad association for the aspiring devotee. Now, of course, this was told to the grihastha devotees who are naturally married, they're living with their wives. So what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was advising, that although you may be living with your wife, but one should be very careful. Even in that situation, not to become too much entangled, not to become too implicated in material attachment. Of course, Srila Prabhupada once he told us that, just like Chanaka said, that one should see every woman except his wife as his mother. And here also we find that it mentions that one should not be in a... the Shastras enjoin that one should not even talk to a woman in a secret place, even if she happens to be one's own daughter, sister, or mother. So, because the sex impulse is so strong, even if one is very learned, he becomes agitated in such circumstances. So, doesn't mention one's wife, because naturally one's wife one has a license to associate with. That is why one is married, is to associate with one's wife. That license is given. So Chanaka also said, everyone except one's wife. So Srila Prabhupada was mentioning that even in the Vedas, they don't say you have to see your wife as your mother. They never say that. You see your wife as your wife. That is a natural attachment which comes. But this Ram Krishna, he one-upped everyone. That he was so, apparently to the history, actually he had a very licentious early life, so that he became impotent due to excessive debauchery. So when he was married to his mother, to his wife, what's her name? Sarala. He couldn't, he was impotent at that time. So he had no recourse, so what he did is he took a good advantage of it, and instead of being embarrassed, he started to address her as his mother. In this way, it was it attracted the fancy of the people, that everyone knows that you accept everyone as your mother except for your wife. That's very pious. But here, he was accepting even his wife as his mother. Now, that was really something that was quite extraordinary. So in this way, he was able to, although he was grihasth, he was calling his wife his mother and not approaching her. Of course, he had no facility anyway, because he had already expended himself. But he was able to utilize that to get a lot of popular support. But actually, Prabhupada, he was more or less ridiculing that it's not necessary, and this is bogus, that one has to consider his wife to be his mother. But on the other hand, one does have to be careful. Even with one's wife, that it does not cloud completely. It doesn't cloud the relationship with the spiritual master and Krishna. Even then, one should be careful that in the heart, the attachment for the spiritual master and Krishna is not being clouded by association with the opposite sex, because the impulse to enjoy these senses is so strong and is so dangerous that unrestricted sense gratification dampens our fervor and our realization of Krishna consciousness. So it is very important that one should treat sense gratification and this material world with fear. Kamsa, he was always afraid. Devaki and Vasudeva, they were also afraid. But Kamsa was afraid of Krishna. And Devaki and Vasudeva, they were afraid of Kamsa. This was the difference. So because Kamsa was afraid of Krishna, would come and kill him at any moment. See, he was always agitated, and he wanted to kill Krishna. Devaki and Vasudeva, because they were always afraid of Kamsa, they were always thinking of Krishna. How Krishna may save the situation, how also Krishna may be protected. This way, but they were always having different type of fear for Kamsa. So the example given in the Bhagavatam by Srila Prabhupada is that Kamsa is the personification of material fear. A non-devotee is always afraid, but he sees Krishna as death personified. They're always afraid of death. Doesn't see Krishna with a loving, just like the mouse when it's picked up by the cat's mouth, doesn't see the cat as a very loving person. Sees the cat as death personified. But when when a little kitten is picked up by the mouth of the cat, and then she is feeling that I'm protected by my mother. Similarly, the devotee sees Krishna in a very wonderful perspective as most kind and gentle protector. While the non-devotee sees the same Krishna as death personified. So, Krishna should be approached as a devotee. But then we should fear, just like Devaki and Vasudev feared Kamsa. The devotee should fear material sense gratification, should fear Maya, because Maya can put one into complete forgetfulness of Krishna. This is Maya's quality. Just as in Mayapur, when we go to the Simantadweep, we tell the story about how Maya Devi saw Lord Shiva laughing and asked why he was laughing, and he said that, well, he was thinking of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Gorango. And she said, Gorango, I even hear this name, my hairs are standing on end. Who is Gorango? He's the golden avatar of Krishna. He said, I want to meet him. Devi said, Parvati, how can I meet him? And he explained to her who Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was, and that if she went to Navadvip Dham and worshipped there, then she could meet him. So she went to one of the islands near our Jagannath temple and began to worship Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Gauranga, constantly meditating on his transcendental lotus feet, chanting his holy name, until finally she was chanting, Gauranga, Gauranga, Jaya, Gauranga, Jaya, Gauranga. Then Lord Chaitanya appeared to her with his hair tied up in the Brahminical fashion, with a flower in the hair, and with his lotus eyes going to his ears, his golden form, effulgent like the form of Srimati Radharani. In his broad chest and thin waist, thin like a lion, and his arms going down to his knees. Ajanulambita bhujo. And a lotus and colorful scented flower garland with bumblebees flying around, trying to taste the nectar from his flower garland, from his lotus feet. In this way, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared in his transcendentally effulgent form as the golden avatar. 2. Mother Parvati. She fell down at his feet and offered her obeisances. What do you want, my mother? Said Lord Chaitanya, Mother Parvati. And Parvati said that, my Lord, you are giving pure love for Krishna to everyone without considering who is qualified, who is unqualified. Whole world gets delivered by your transcendental mercy. This is your quality of unlimited compassion. I am known by the devotees as Maya. I bring the living entities out of your devotional service and keep them into ignorance, in ignorance. Is that clear? And the devotees, they always criticize me, saying, Krishna surja sama maya hoyandokar jaha krishna taha maya nahi adhikar. Wherever there is Krishna, there is no Maya. That means eternally I am cursed to not be present before you, to not have your mercy. While everyone is getting the mercy, I won't get. Is this my misfortune, never to get pure love for Krishna, never to get pure devotion at your lotus feet? When will I understand what is the highest mercy, the highest love in pure devotion? So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, then she took the dust from his feet and put it on her head. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, my dear mother Parvati, you should know that you are the expansion of the Jogamaya. You are ultimately the expansion of Srimati Radharani. You are necessary for me to enjoy my pastimes in this material world. You are the expansion of Srimati Radharani. You are external energy. So here in the holy Dham, you are Protamaya. Protamaya means that here and in Vrindavan, you are Purnamasi. You arrange the devotional service and moods of the devotees and protect the Dham from the Maya intruders. So, in this way, he blessed her that she could understand at that moment her non-difference from Srimati Radharani, how she was the external energy, and she could understand her connection, and she came into the mood of pure devotional service, appreciation and love for Krishna and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. She became overwhelmed with ecstatic symptoms. And there she resides. Lord Chaitanya informed her as Protamaya, and Lord Shiva has come as Birtha Shiv in Navadvip Dham. And she keeps those who have not accepted the relationship with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, she keeps them in ignorance. And those who have surrendered to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who have accepted their eternal relationship as his devotee, she increases their transcendental humor for the Lord. So Mahamaya, she's a great devotee. But she's very efficient. And her duty, especially outside the Dham, is very single-pointed, you see. That is to bring the living entity under her control. So that means that whether we are brahmachari or grihastha, we have to be careful about coming fully under the control of Mahamaya. The brahmachari should completely avoid discussion in a solitary place with women. Brahmachari and sannyasi has to be very careful. Jagananda Pandit, he warned the brahmacharis and sannyasis that don't think, don't discuss with women, don't think about women, not even in your dreams. Remember Choto Haridas. Remember Junior Haridas and how he was evicted by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu couldn't tolerate when the people were showing, wearing red cloth, showing renunciation, and being hypocrites, talking with women solitarily, internally, enjoying that. Because that tendency is there, it's very enjoyable, subtly and sexually gratifying to discuss with the women in solitary places. Therefore, brahmacharis, sannyasi, they do not allow themselves to be alone. Of course, here the symptom is even if somehow that happens and one doesn't get agitated, that's a very good sign that one should not take the risk. One shouldn't think himself proud. There was one so-called acharya in another branch, you can say, of the Vaishnav Sampradaya, who challenged Maya, who said, "Let Maya come, I will not fall down, I will show her. I have strongly taken Krishna's lotus feet, but our mood is Trinadupi Sunichena, very humble, very tolerant, one to give glory to others, not accept honor for oneself." So what happened to that acharya? Within a few years, that so-called acharya, he fell down. Maya, Prabhupada said, is to be conquered in this way, that one should be like the deep water fish. Para para sunna gobir bhakti rasa sindhu. The ocean of transcendental nectar of devotion. is unlimitedly wide and deep. So we become like the Makara fish, the deep water fish, go far, far in the depths of that transcendental ocean, swimming in the nectar currents. And Maya with her fishermen is on the top, dragging her net. If one is popped up and comes up to the top, then can get snagged by those nets of Maya. But if one is very humble and very deep into that nectar of devotion ocean, then the nets and Maya are far above, and one stays protected deep into that ocean. One should dive deep, always remembering, chanting, hearing, relishing the service to the spiritual master and Lord Chaitanya. Feeling oneself very humble, very much afraid of associating intimately with Maya. Not thinking oneself to be already over the hump, over the hurdle. Actually, until one has pure Krishna prema, which means one's material mind and intelligence is dismantled and one's pure spiritual intelligence and mentality is there. One is always susceptible to attack from Maya. So the defense is fear, humility, and submerging deep into the ocean of nectar. And someone challenges or thinks, no, no, I am beyond all these things. I can associate or I can do. Then it's very dangerous. Because Maya, she is so strong. We are actually so minute. We have to cling to the lotus feet of Guru Gauranga, Nitai Gaur. We have to cling to their lotus feet very firmly. Then Maya cannot get us. But Krishna, Bhogavan Shakare, Bahir Mukha Hoye, Bhogavan Shakare, Maya Nikasta Aisa Jhapatiya Dhore. As soon as we turn our face away from Krishna, desiring sense gratification, Maya, she comes in, you see, more expert than one of those, we call them Dallas Cowboys, Green Bay Packers, and tackles us, throws us down on the ground. Immediately she tackles, flying in, and throws us down. She guides us under her grip, lock, stock, and barrel. So, the devotee is afraid of Maya. And what does the devotee do? That example is given by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu when he did his Gundicha Marjanam. Leela, the cleaning of the temple Gundicha in Jagannath Puri. He took all of his devotees, and there were so many branches and leaves and things. He told everyone, gather up all these things. And he started picking up himself. Leaves, branches, put them in his cloth, his own cloth, lovingly cleaned that temple. He told all the devotees, who can pick up more of these leaves and branches? Whoever picks up more of the refuse, we will take it outside and see. Little transcendental competition was there. Who can clean that temple the nicest and the most enthusiastically. And so, of course, everyone, they were cleaning until the whole temple, there was no more leaves, no more branches. And Lord Chaitanya put his pile, and everyone looked at their piles, and their piles were so much smaller than Lord Chaitanya's. Then they put theirs together, and even everyone combined was less than Lord Chaitanya. He was so enthusiastically cleaning. Which shows Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was coming down, Krishna himself, to show us how to be a proper devotee. These leaves and branches are like different material desires. Like material gross desires in our heart, they have to be cleansed out of the We say that our body is a temple. Our heart here, we see how the heart is the nerve center, is the capital of this city.
That's the exact word that they use. The heart is the capital.
The heart is considered to be the capital. So, in the capital, we have to clean out all the impurities. So then, if it wasn't finished there, then we know that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came back and he had the broom. And then he began to sweep that temple. And then all the devotees, they started to sweep, and all the little twigs that were still left, the small and the dust, until the whole temple was completely swept clean. Every nook and cranny, all the parts of the temple was swept. And after it was swept, still it wasn't finished. Then again, there were the devotees waiting ready with the water in the jug. And so then Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu called for the jugs, and he personally was taking the water and throwing it on the floor, on the walls, on the Vedi, the Singhasana, where the deity would sit. They cleaned the Bhog Mandir, the Prasadam room, everywhere. The courtyard, the Nath Mandir, the Kirtan Hall. And of course, there were hundreds of devotees were bringing the water from the lake, from the wells. And sometimes they would break the pots, bumping them together. Sometimes they would throw the water on Lord Chaitanya's lotus feet and secretly sneak a little bit of that water, tasting a little nectar. Of course, one devotee was caught red-handed. And Lord Chaitanya, he called Surup Damodar, who is this Gaudiya? You get your Gaudiya devotee. He was drinking the water from my feet while here I am inside the deity room. This is very offensive. So Surup Damodar grabbed him by the neck. What are you doing? Pushed him out of the temple. The Prabhupada, of course, said that Surup Damodar, he was in charge of the Gaudiya Vaishnavas. So that's why Lord Chaitanya said, you're Gaudiya. Some devotees were in charge of certain areas and certain other devotees. Now, like Surup Damodar was in charge of the Gaudiya. Rupa and Sanatana, they were watching over Vrindavana. Like this, different devotees were in charge. Sivananda Sena would bring down the devotees from Bengal. But of course, over all the Bengali devotees in the Gaudiya Vaishnava was the Surup Damodar. So Lord Chaitanya was giving the perfect example of a Vaishnava, although he himself was Krishna. Internally he was pleased, the devotee, but externally he did not want to give a bad example. While he was cleaning the singhasana in the deity room, someone would wash and publicly Dinkasiri would see that. So then after cleaning everything with the water, it appeared just as pure as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's own mind, so clean and so pure. But then again, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he came back into the temple, and they began to clean out the little cracks in between all these stones with little twigs or nails or fingernails. They're picking out all the little dust that was even within the cracks to get out every last speck. This is very important to understand how meticulously they were cleaning. Because just as the analogy of Puranjana is there, this Gunnicha temple, the analogy is a gross four regulative principles. Then we get rid of the mental speculations. Then we get rid of all these subtle desires. And even after you've given up all these desires, we go and we find out where are the traces of materialistic mentality. The aroma of material desire. And there in the purport, It's important to note how Srila Prabhupada said that even someone who gives up the desire for sense gratification, that we are so much addicted to fruitive activity, to thinking by the hard work and endeavor that we perform, we will enjoy some material fruit, some sense gratification. That even sometimes devotees, in a good motive, they think, I'll do some business or do some type of activity and give the money to Krishna. And if they're not careful, they get wrapped up, even unknowingly, into a whole fruitive mentality. And they don't end up giving anything to Krishna. Instead, they simply become fruitive workers, again, falling into material consciousness. So we have to not only clean even the gross desire that, no, I don't want to enjoy sense gratification, I don't want to enjoy fruitive activity, but even the subtle mentality, that aroma which is still left, just like after you clean something, still you go in there, you can still smell the aroma of the garbage. Even the last scent of the filth that was in our heart has to be scraped out. That means that therefore we have to always remain humble. If you get proud that already my heart is clean, I'm a devotee, I made it. You see, then there'll be so many cracks with little garbage stuck in it, which we have not yet cleaned out. Actually, if we were completely cleansed of the last aromas, we would be able to see and talk with Krishna. As soon as we heard the message of Krishna, our heart would melt. It would not stay like a stone. Even after chanting Hare Krishna, it would not remain, you see, without being melted. It would melt. So we have to be very careful to cleanse our heart. So we should protect ourselves like Devaki and Vasudev by being afraid of Maya association. Not allowing our attachments to let us forget our duty to the spiritual master. And that is only possible if we are a little bit uncomfortable with Maya. Even if it's one's wife, one should be a little fearful of that attachment, you see, very fearful. That if it grows and one breaks regulative principles, then one can forget the spiritual master, can again become wound up. Both husband and wife, they have that responsibility to remain Krishna conscious. Naturally, there will be some attachment. It is natural. And the mother will love the children. Father will love the children. That is natural. But the real manifestation of affection is bringing one to Krishna consciousness. Sense gratification is selfish. And we have to be aware of that selfishness. It's not affection, real affection, or real sentiment, or real love. And what it is, it's sense gratification, it's love. So one has a license when one is married, but one has to be careful that whatever natural affection or attachment may grow, instead of being dovetailed properly to bring each other to Krishna, to serve the spiritual master cooperatively, instead, by material association, because Maya is so strong, instead, one will become simply engrossed in sensual attachment, in sense gratification, and lose sight of the real duty to spiritual master. Then what happens, of course, is one becomes critical of other Vaishnavas. When weeds, like the first is called, the six weeds that are mentioned, Nishidachar Kuti Nati Jiva Hingsan. First thing is one breaks regulative principles. Next, Kuti Nati, fault find. Becomes very critical of everything. Becomes very critical because one is not up to the mark oneself. Therefore, wants to bring everyone else down. So finds out what are their defects that more or less gives oneself some type of mental satisfaction. If everyone is bad and I'm also a little bad, then that's not so bad. But if everybody is good and I'm bad, that's very bad. So of course the devotee always has the other humility. Everyone is very enthusiastically serving, and somehow or another I have to come up to that standard. To push everyone and thus to be pulled along. You see, if their object is moving forward very fast, it creates a suction behind. So we want everyone to go ahead and we want to be pulled along. Someone who is pushing up, he's also going up. That is a devotional. The more you can encourage other people in their devotional service, the more Krishna pushes you up in devotional service. And Maya means pull people down and try to push yourself up. And the more that that's done, the person is himself being pulled down. Even he does not know it. So first thing, of course, breaking principles, kuti, nati, then jiva, hingsam, to become envious of other living entities, to become envious of oneself, to commit violence on one's spiritual life. La puja prati sari, then profit. That I need some personal acquisition, personal property, profit. I have to. What am I getting? You hear sometimes, I've been serving the spiritual master chanting for 6 years. What have I got out of it? No color TV. Why? They don't see that for millions of years they've been accruing karma. They got rid of their sinful activities, the opportunity to go back to home, back to Godhead in this life. Unlimited devotional credits have been given. But if it's not within their karma to enjoy so many material things, then what they do? They go outside. Some people, they are successes in their business, and they're still miserable. And some people, they go down to the pits of material nature. So we should be careful. These are all predicted delusions if we allow the weeds to grow. We shouldn't think, what am I getting by serving the spiritual master materially? That is not why we approach the spiritual master, to get material. That's what you approach Lord Shiva for. Mother Durga, give me a nice material facility, even if it's poison. Then, the spiritual master and Krishna, they will only give material facility if a person is right, if a person is mature enough to tolerate that situation and properly engage it and dovetail it in Krishna's service. What we get from the spiritual master when people start to analyze materially, that means they're missing the whole point. Their heart has already become so filled with garbage, that they so filled with weeds, they can't see what was the original creeper. That their original creeper, they may have become dogs in their next life. And now they're getting the opportunity, even they fall down like that, they'll probably become demigods and have to be in heavenly planet for so many thousands of years and miss Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement. And miss this chance to get back to Krishna Loka. But they'll get what they want so long as they don't offend the Vaishnavas. So labha puja, then they want worship. No one is appreciating me enough. I should be worshipped. Pratistadi, then they want position. Where is my position? I have no position. Without position, how can I serve my spiritual master as his menial servant? How is it possible without position I can serve him as a menial servant after so many years? Of course, these things are funny because it's obvious, but they it's not obvious to some people what they're saying. And what happens is that their heart has, they somehow flipping up on the top of that ocean of nectar, and they're not in the nectar anymore. They're watering the weeds. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has warned us against this in different ways, as Gundicha to Rupa Goswami, how we have to cleanse our heart, how we have to pull the weeds, how we have to water. Mali hoya, stay beach, kore aro pan. Sabana kirtana jale, koraye se chan. We get this seed. Brahmanda bhamite kuno bhagyavan jeev guru krishna prasade pai bhakti lota beach. From the spiritual master by Krishna's mercy. And we become a gardener, we plant that in our heart and we water it with chanting, with hearing, and the other devotional services. And that grows and grows. Right out of this material world, right to Krishna's lotus feet. Tabi jai tadupade, goloka brindavan, Krishna chan kalpa viksha kore arohan. Reaches the lotus feet of Krishna, which are just like desire trees. And then it blooms. The flowers and the fruits, they come of bhava, pure love for Krishna, prema. So we should not lose sight that we are watering our creeper to go up to Krishna's lotus feet. Why I watered my creeper for so long? What weeds have I got out of it? That is what they're saying. What weeds have I got out of it? I haven't got the weed of material lust. I haven't got the weed of material desire for position. I didn't get any position. I didn't get this. I didn't get... I didn't get any weeds. Now I have to plant my weeds. It's time for weed puja. You see, doesn't make any sense. So we shouldn't become distracted. We should claim the last crack, the aroma of material desire. So that we can relish nectar at every moment. That nectar ocean is there. Tumai chakaite ami kuhi akabindu. Lord Chaitanya told Rupa Goswami that I can't give you the whole ocean. But if I give you one, I want to give you one drop. And this one drop is more than the ocean. You see, if you take all the material happiness that's possible in this universe, that one ocean of happiness, that is not even compared to one drop. Compared to one drop of the ocean of spiritual bliss, of Krishna consciousness. That one drop is like an ocean compared to the drop. So I want to give you that drop. And by that one drop, you'll be able to understand what is the ocean which is there. Ocean of bhakti rasa sindhu, of nectar of devotion. So Maharaj Puranjana, you see, of course, he is the standard materialist example. But the devotee, seeing the qualities of Puranjana, becomes fearful of the association of Maya and starts to cleanse the heart very carefully. Doesn't allow, has this jewel of bhakti, protects it from all type of thieves, rogues, cheaters. Very important. Just like sometimes, of course, people are delivered, they don't even know. Just like when Mother Janavi, after she left that festa, was going to Vrindavana, and she went into one town where all the people were Kali worshippers, Chandi, and they saw that the devotees were being respected. They became very envious. Why they're bowing down to Janava? Why they're bowing down to these Vaishnavas, these other villagers? They're rascals, they're not bowing down to Chandi. To Mother Maya. They're not offering her any goat offerings and drinking any wine. They're all offensive. So they went to Chandi and told her that we're going to chop off the head of these Vaishnavas. They're so offensive to you. They don't offer you any goats and wine and anything, and they're offensive. We're going to finish them off tonight, chop off their heads. And we'll wake up in the middle of the night and do this work for your pleasure. Of course, Chandi Maya is the greatest devotee. She tolerates these demons. You see, but when they want to offend the Vaishnava, she cannot tolerate. So she appeared in their dreams as soon as they went to sleep, and her eyes were flaming red, and her hair was scattered, and she was accompanied by her sea demons, and she had that huge chopper in her hand, And she told him, I'm going to chop off your head. You don't know who is Janava. She is my worshipable deity. She is the Antaranga Shakti. These are all Vaishnavas. They are pure devotees of Krishna, my eternal master. You are going to chop their head off. If you do not beg them for forgiveness for your offense, I'm going to chop off your head. They woke up shaking. Oh. Oh. They were very afraid of Chandi. They ran over to the Vaishnavas and fell down at their feet. Please, please, for you know who you are, forgive us. Mother Chandi is to threaten the way we know who you are. Please, please, instruct us in what is devotional, who you are, what we are to do. We have committed so many offenses. So of course, Janava, being an ocean of mercy, bless them with ecstatic love for Nitai Gaur. And they became devotees. They stayed there for a few days. Janava and other devotees that were going to Vrindavana. And they turned the whole village into, that were demons there, they turned them all into pure devotees. Of course, when Janava went to Vrindavana, then all the Vaishnavas in Mathura, first they met her, then they took her to Vrindavana, then Jiva Goswami, others, they all came out, and she was introduced. This is Krishna Das Kaviraj, this is Gopal Bhatta Goswami, Jiva Goswami, Lokanath Goswami, Bhugarva Goswami, so on. So there, he's introduced to all the Vaishnavas, told that Raghunath Das cannot come, he's in Radha Kunda. Then she was wandering in the forest and she saw Balaram's Ras Leela. She fell unconscious. She went to Radha Kunda and offered her respects to, and was offered respects by Raghunath Das Goswami, who was filled with separation. They are worshipping in Radha Kunda. Then finally she was ordered by Gopina to get a proper Radharani Murti for him. There was a proper size and everything. And so then she went back to Gaudadesh to get a Radharani deity for Gopinath in Vrindavana, Janava Devi, like this. But even the demons, you see, by the mercy, Maya doesn't want people to stay always. That's why she kicks them. She's like the cruel hand to remind us. We should just take shelter of Krishna. So even that Mahamaya Chandi had her demon devotees take shelter of the devotees of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So we should take shelter. We should not allow our mind, which has got that aroma of sense gratification. Prabhupada says, like washing the coal. He thought it was like sometimes washing the coal. No matter how much you wash, your black just keeps coming up. Of course, someone gave an analogy that even coal, if you put a tremendous pressure upon it, it turns into a diamond. That if one is always in the fire of devotional service, even the coal can become diamond. So we should be very careful to place ourselves in that fire, to cleanse our heart completely, and to always cling to the lotus feet of Nitai Gaura Premanandi Hari Hari Bo. Thank you very much. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasri Gaura Bhaktavinoda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.